Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24 this morning. Luke chapter 24. And let's start thinking about the wonder of our hope, the wonder of the expectations we can have in Christ because of his death, burial, and resurrection. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your word, Lord. We just ask that you would massage it into our hearts this morning and encourage us. Father, that our lives would be changed because of it. Lord, grow us in your grace. Meet every need in our hearts and lives according to your riches and glory. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I remember reading a story of a little guy by the name of Philip joining a Sunday school class. He was only 8 years old, and he had Down syndrome. The other students were struggling to include him. He was a little bit different. And then Easter came along, and I know some of you ladies might remember this, but they used to sell pantyhose in a little egg-shaped thing called legs. Well, the Sunday school teacher had brought in a whole bunch of those empty eggs, and she had shared the story of the fact of the empty tomb and using the egg. And then she gave the children an opportunity to go outside and to put something beautiful in the egg. And so they were out for a few minutes and they came in, and so she began opening up the eggs, one by one, and the children would go ooh, ah, as different things would appear. And one found this beautiful stone that just glittered in the sunlight, numerous flowers. And there was one rambunctious young person who actually captured a butterfly alive and got it in its egg. And so when she opened that one kind of startled her, and off it flew. So they had a butterfly in their room now. And then she got to one, and she opened it, and it was empty. And the students go, who didn't do what she was supposed to, or who didn't do what we're told to do? Who didn't do it? We have expectations. And when that egg was opened, those kids had an expectation. And as we start looking at Luke chapter 24, we're going to see that these ladies and the disciples all along this trek we're going to take this morning, they have expectations. Follow along with me as I start in verse 1 of Luke chapter 24. Notice what it says. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they have prepared. They're going to anoint the body. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Angels. Then as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth. And the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when you were still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again? And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all of those things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and other women with them that told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Expectations. Because of the empty tomb, I believe you and I can have a couple of expectations. Jesus Christ had fulfilled the word that he had declared. He had now victory over death for you and I. What an expectation. You know, when I was growing up, I was in an unsaved family, and I listened to the world's music and everything, and one of the groups happened to be called Grand Funk. Don't go out and listen to them, please. But actually, in the beginning of one of their albums, they actually had children say these words: "You live, you live, and you die, you die." And that was the philosophy of life that I really developed for my whole life. I'm just going to live so long that I'm going to die. That's all over. You know, nothing. You know, and Christ now is risen from the grave. He's alive. You and I have the expectation of that victory in our own lives. Plus, he promised. He promised that's what he's doing. The angel said, "Listen, don't you remember? He said he was going to die on the cross for our sins, and he was going to rise again." You know, this book is filled with the promises of God. And you and I can live in the expectation that our God wants to fulfill them in your life and my life as we walk with him. That's a great expectation because of the empty tomb. The tomb is empty, but it proves that Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, has won the victory over death. And all God's people said, amen. And you and I can walk in that because of the empty tomb. You and I can walk in great expectations because of that. I remember one of his promises that he shared with the disciples in John chapter 14. We haven't gotten there as we study the book of John, but it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said, "Oh, Lord, I do not know where you're going. How can I possibly know the way?" And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Those are promises. You know, have great expectations of what we have waiting for us, and that he will return, and that he is preparing. You know, as we continue in this story, we can find even more great expectations because of the Emmaus Road. Notice what it goes on to say in verse 13. Follow along as I read. "Now, behold, two of the disciples, were traveling that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things that had happened. So it was that they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said unto them, What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, What things? So they said unto him, The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all of this, today is the third day since these things happened. And yes, certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of angels and said that he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him, Christ, they did not see. You know, they had an expectation that Jesus Christ was going to be a ruler and a king, and he was going to deliver them from the bondage of Rome and the Roman tyranny that was going on. That was their expectation. And even though Christ, over the course of the 3 years, said, no, there's a more important reason for Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one to come, and that is to fulfill the holy wishes of God the Father, you know, he wanted them to have that. You know, and so as they walked life, Christ came alongside of them. I think that's another great expectation that you and I can have. You know, as we look around this, you know, right here in the 50 plus of us, you know, the reality is we're all at different seasons. We all have different expectations. We're all going through different things. And I want you to know, no matter where you are in life, Christ wants to walk with you and walk with you through the issues of life. What a blessing that is. And that is an expectation of hope, designed for you and I to understand we don't have to face life alone. It is because he is our God, our risen Savior. Notice how it continues on with verse 25. Then he said unto them, O foolish ones, slow to heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ, the Messiah, to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then from the beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now, he's only talking about the Old Testament, so he's talking to them about Psalm 16, for instance, Isaiah 51, Isaiah chapter 6, all of these beautiful passages that pronounce the coming Messiah, Micah chapter 3, all of these places which were fulfilled by Jesus coming and death and burial and resurrection. You know, Psalm 16:2 announces the fact that God would not leave his son in the grave or in Sheol. He wouldn't leave him there. In other words, he was going to resurrect him. Isaiah 53 declares he came to die for our sins. Yeah, our iniquities, our transgressions, so that we could be washed free, so that that sacrificial lamb wouldn't have to be sacrificed any longer because the perfect Lamb of God has come. That's a great expectation of hope. I don't know about you, but there are days I'm so glad he's walking with me, because they're hard days. They're challenging days. They're bad news days. And I'm so glad he is there. The hope to be able to understand the scriptures. That's why we love teaching verse by verse. That's why we're in the Gospel of John. To be able to have an understanding. That is an expectation you and I can have, that we can grow in knowing this book. You know, when I'm in my 30s, I still couldn't do the books in order. I knew nothing. I basically almost went to school biblically illiterate, because I wasn't saved until later in life. And the truth is that God wants us to understand him through his word. That's a great expectation. You and I can grow in that. That's why we offer Bible studies, so that we can grow in that together, wanting to know who he is, to understand the truth. Notice how it continues on, starting with verse 28. Then they drew near to the village, and they were where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass that he sat at the table with them, and took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened. They knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Now, I don't know about you, but that would scare my socks right off me, you know. And I know back then they didn't wear socks, so maybe it was their sandals. But that would have made me gulp, blessing the bread and gone, you know. And they understood he was the Christ, the Messiah. Notice how he continues on, you know, because the next verse is one of my favorite verses. I enjoy eating spicy, and so I end up with heartburn, but their heartburn is great. Notice what it says. And then they said to one another, "Did not your heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they arose that very hour, and they returned to Jerusalem to find the 11 and those who were still gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. You know, the joy of fulfilled desire, that joy of having the things that they yearned to know. They wanted to understand what had happened, and Christ graciously fulfilled it for these two. And they very excitedly went back and said, "It's true, it's true." Wonderful expectation. Your desires and my desires in Christ can be fulfilled. Isn't that wonderful? That's an expectation. That's a great expectation. All because of the things that happened on the road to Emmaus and the wonder of it. Notice how it continues on, starting in verse 36. "Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and he said to them, 'Peace to you.'" Now, I don't know about you, but there goes again, that scared my socks off. Wait a minute, where'd you come from? He's just standing in the midst of them. And that's exactly what happened to them, verse 37. "But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, 'Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands, my feet, that is myself. Handle me. See, for what spirit does not have flesh?" Well, "Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." In other words, he's showing them the nail prints right there. He's showing them the nail prints right there. "Go ahead, touch it. Feel free, touch it, you know. I am not a spirit." He understood what they were thinking. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe for joy, they marveled and said to them, "Have you any food?" And so they gave him a piece of boiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and he ate with them. And just another proof that it was a bodily resurrection. He is there with them. You know, the joy of all of that. He ate in their presence. Wow. Fulfilling God's word. Allowing those things to be magnified. Having hope in all that he has said. Then verse 44. "And then he said unto them, 'These are the words that I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that all these things must be fulfilled that were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.' And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." Ah, that understanding, an expectation we can have. And then he said to them, verse 46, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high." He's also promising to send his Spirit. They did receive the Holy Spirit. In the very moment that anybody trusts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are indwelled by the Holy Spirit and sealed until the day of redemption. That's a great expectation. Then we have the power and the wisdom to walk the journey of life in Christ, bringing glory to God. Great expectations that we have. It's filled with them. I just covered a story that's there, rapidly covered the story, but it's filled with great expectations that you and I can have in Christ It starts with that thought of the remission of sins, the bondage of sin being broken in a person's life. It is a personal relationship with Christ. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for yourself. It isn't church membership. It isn't communion. It isn't going to church. It is a relationship with Him starting in, God, forgive me, I'm a wretched sinner. And I trust Jesus Christ alone to be my Savior. Please save me now. Simple, truthful, His words. How come nobody did it? Little Philip goes, that's mine. I did that. Well, why didn't you put something in it? Because I wanted to do what the teacher asked us to, put something beautiful. What is it? It's empty. Well, that's true. The most beautiful thing, Philip goes, is that the tomb was empty. All of a sudden, all the boys and girls became quiet, and they realized little Philip had gained something from the teaching that they let slip by. Now he is a part of the class. They let him in. A year and a half goes by, and little Philip has a bacterial infection that the doctors can't gain any victory over. And little Philip goes home to be with the Lord. The day of his funeral, in walk nine and 10-year-olds, and they walk up to the casket at the end, and they put broken, chipped little leg eggs on the casket and walk away. And the pastor comes down and says, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And one of the boys said, he taught us that the empty tomb is beautiful. How about you? Does the empty tomb mean anything to you? And the fulfillment of everything that God wants for you and I? We can live in the ugly expectations of this world or have great expectations in our God. Pastor David Siemens, he ended up going to one of those 40-20 countries where it's illegal to talk about Christ without fear. And he met a Muslim man and just trusted Christ as Savior. And the Muslim man had decided to stick it out, knowing that he would probably die at the hands of his brother somewhere along the line. And he took Pastor Siemens into a coffee shop there, and they're sitting there and having coffee. And everybody knew that this man had become a Christian, and everybody had been instructed not to talk to him. But somebody broke the silence and said, why? Why would you do the infidel thing? Why would you go for that? He goes, that's simple. He goes, suppose you're walking down a road and you come to a fork in the road. And there at the end of the fork are two people. One's dead. One's alive. Which one are you going to ask directions from? The tomb is empty. He yearns to walk with you through life. He yearns for the power of His Spirit to work in you, to serve others, to bring glory. It starts with that remission of sins and is followed up with wanting to love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. As the worship team comes, I just got to ask you, where are you? Are you in Christ? Are you a child of God? How sad it would be if you left here this day and your expectations were still in yourself. or in the things that the world offers rather than the risen Savior. Let's stand together. Our Father and our God, Lord, you know our hearts, you know where we're at. Lord, you know whether our expectations are of you or of the world. Father, you know whether or not we are one of your children or not. Father, how I pray that during this song, if there's one here who's never trusted Christ as Savior, that today they would call out, "Oh, Father, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And I trust your Son, the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, to be my Savior." Oh, Scripture says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised again, you will be saved. That's God's word, not mine. Oh, Father. And if somebody here has just walked away from the things of the Lord and they're doing their own thing, expectations of the world again, Father, I pray that you just draw them back ever so gently and that they would start living within your expectations for your glory and your glory alone. For it's in your Son's name we pray.